Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Thursday, January 20th. Hard to believe we are 20 days into 2022 already. And winter is, I do a countdown, Chris. It's like, all right, we got about 6 weeks left till this is not as miserable.
Yeah.
And we might be able to go outside without bundling up. But welcome to Menace in the Morning. I am here, Zach Smith, your host, with my co-host, Chris Drew. Excited to just talk, have conversation about college football because it's ever changing, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of hirings, a lot of firings, a lot of movement. Jim Harbaugh might be leaving Michigan. Nick Saban's hiring coaches. RJ Young's being an idiot. Like, it is a typical Thursday in January. Those things are going on. A couple things to get out of the way. First of all, we're picking our YouTube back up next week, and so if you could go subscribe to me for us, youtube.com/menace2sports, the number two, and hit subscribe and click the bell. We have about 5,221 subscribers right now, roughly. Mm-hmm. So if you could go subscribe, try to get us to 6K, we will relaunch the YouTube video. Also, a little platform news. I'm trying to nail down some interviews. Obviously, Jameson Williams has committed to coming on the show, but he just had surgery. Tate Martell was all about it. And then kind of went cold yesterday. Probably had, he's a bit, busy transitioning into the business world. But go ahead and tag Tate and tell him you want him to come on the show, because we're going to transition as we launch our YouTube. We're going to do the morning show every morning. Mm-hmm. We're going to launch our YouTube and pump out video content on there. And then the main episodes of the podcast that have always been a staple of the show, they will be kind of bonus episodes as we get something that I think is just great value to you, because I don't want to do an hour show every Tuesday, Thursday, or every Wednesday and just give you a bunch of nonsense. And not that I would ever do that, but I don't want to just create content to create content. I only want things on this show to be A1A, top shelf. And so that's the plan moving forward. Hoping to have a couple episodes here in the next week or two. Also going to bring on Eric Lichter to talk about the sports science side of development. I'm going to try to get Quincy Avery and a couple other people to talk more football, high-level IQ football stuff. So that's the plan. I do have some gambling stuff for you, Chris. Cool. Our partner, MyBookie, as everyone knows, with promo code Menace, if you sign up a new account, use the promo code Menace, you get a free deposit match. And I want to give you out our handicappers golf picks for this this tournament today. And if you don't get them today, you can bet them live. But I'll come back with a parlay probably tomorrow. But here's how we bet golf, Chris, on MyBookie. So we go on there and we pick, this time we picked five golfers, right? You put a little bit of money on them because you pick a golfer to win a tournament at the beginning of the tournament, it pays out huge, right? Mm-hmm. And MyBookie's the best site that I've seen at doing it. So we risk about 30 units, which let's say it's 10 bucks a unit, that's 300 bucks. And the least we could win if one of these five wins is 600 bucks, right? Or I'm sorry, $6,000, right? 60 units on 30 units. Wait, that's not right. 600 bucks. I was right the first time. So you go to MyBookie, use promo code Menace, and we're firing 10 units on John Rahm, 5 units on Scott Scheffler, 5 units on Corey Connors, 5 units on Matthew Wolf, and 5 units on Abraham Answer. For instance, if Matthew Wolf wins, you'll bet 300 bucks to win 1500 bucks. So it's a way to I'm telling you, our handicappers are unbelievable at golf. So go to MyBookie, use that promo code, and let's play a little American Express golf tournament gambling. So that is that, Chris. We also have our mailbag tomorrow. So go leave us a 5-star review, drop your questions. A couple people that have already reviewed mentioned that they can't re-review and drop a question. So you can always email those or tweet them at Menace to Sports, because that is coming tomorrow. What else do I got? Oh, Spaces, Chris. Mm-hmm. Spaces at 2 o'clock tomorrow. We will be on Twitter. So go to Menace to Sports at Menace to Sports on Twitter, follow them or us, and then click the bell so you know when we're going on.
Right.
All right. That's it.
No, wait, one last thing. Super Bowl squares. We are doing those.
Super Bowl squares. So I'll put that graphic out tomorrow. I think Friday I'll launch it. Okay. But the Super Bowl squares board is up and running. A couple people have already bought squares. $100 a square. Payouts, $500 first quarter, $500 third quarter, $1,000 halftime, and $3,000 if you hit the final score. So that is coming out Friday, but you can buy them now. Venmo at Camera Media or email Zach at Menace2Sports. All right, done. What do you got, Chris?
So Nick Saban is making some moves. Obviously, Ryan Day is not the only one that's getting busy in the hiring world. Nick Saban, it hasn't been announced yet, but been talked about a couple new additions to the staff, one of which you know pretty well, Zach, right?
Yeah, so just it kind of hit the news wire that he was hiring. Well, he's going to hire Trevarius Robinson as the corners coach, and T. Rob is one of the bigger personalities in recruiting. You know, when he was at Florida, I mean, he's been all over. You look up his resume; he's been everywhere. And he was somebody that you always knew you were in on one of the top guys when T. Rob walked in. And there's a couple guys like that nationally. Probably at some point, Chris, I need to do a list of kind of the guys that when you walked in and you were recruiting against this group, you knew this is going to be a dogfight. It also might not be completely shade-free. It might be a little shady here and there. But T-Rob, and I'm not talking about T-Rob, I'm just talking about within the group of, you know, top-level recruiters in college football. And T-Rob is definitely one of them. So that would be a huge get for Alabama, and obviously huge for T-Rob to kind of, you know, and to work for Nick Saban is always a huge resume booster. So that's the first move that is pretty much finalized. The other one is they just hired Coleman Hutzler, the Ole Miss special teams coordinator, and I don't know what for, because he's made a career. So Coleman was a GA at Florida under Urban Meyer after I left. I don't know him that well, but I know him, you know, several people that worked with him there, and he's like DJ Durkin's guy. That's how he ended up at Ole Miss. He's was DJ's guy at Stanford as an analyst. And he went to Florida as an analyst, and so he was obviously got to Ole Miss because DJ Durkin is the D coordinator there, and so I don't know what Nick Saban hired him for, because he has a special teams coordinator, he has linebackers coaches, like I don't know what job he has.
Is this one of these, like, you know, walk in the room and you look around and it's like, well, somebody's got to go, or do you think they're going to find like a senior analyst role for him? Or
I just don't know why you would leave Ole Miss on the field to go be an analyst. So I would imagine that means something is going on at Alabama. Someone's leaving for an NFL job more than likely, or, you know, taking a coordinator job from a position coach's job. But I did think it was funny because it was kind of the opportunity that I had in my career was to take the job that was offered to me with Nick Saban and be the only guy ever that has worked for Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. That was my deal, right? And in the article that kind of on Football Scoop that broke that this was happening, they said that Coleman Hutzler would be that, you know, the first guy to do that, right? Work for Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. And I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, he did. He was a GA, though. That doesn't really count, does it? I mean, it does. You were around Nick,
but like a full-time on the field coach is kind of what.
I mean, yeah, you want to be on the road with Nick. I mean, to say you worked for a guy, I get it. Being a GA, you learn a lot about the program, but you don't learn the intimate details of what that head coach does running a program, right? There's not as much value placed on you. There's those one-on-one meetings where, you know, when I was a full-time coach versus when I was a GA for Urban, it's just vastly different, right? You're involved in conversations the GAs don't know about. You go on the road recruiting. I've been with just me and Urban Meyer on the road recruiting, I don't know, 30 times. Like, you learn so much about how they operate on the road. You overhear phone calls they're making, running the program. Like, you learn so much more. And so, I mean, I guess this is the closest thing to a full-time coach working for both coaches. But I did think that was cool. That's a cool fun fact, right? He will be the first one that I know of.
Assistant to thee, though.
Yeah, right. And so the problem that I had, I was like, when I read that, I said, well, he wasn't a full-time coach. So I pulled up his bio, and in his bio, it says he was the assistant to the linebackers and special teams coordinator at Florida. Right. So
that's that, very assistant to the regional manager, like Dwight Schrute type.
Right. What is that? But then if you go down to his coaching career, it says from 2010 to 2011 at Florida, he was the special teams coordinator and linebackers coach. And I was like, wait a minute. No, he wasn't. I mean, that's false advertising. And I'm sure it's a mistake by an SID somewhere. But he's listed as the linebackers coach and special teams coordinator at Florida in 2010, 2011, when that was, I mean, DJ Durkin. It wasn't him. It was DJ Durkin. And so I just thought that was funny. But it's of note that either someone's leaving Nick Saban's staff on defense or the special teams coordinator, or something happened with this guy and he's taking an off the field analyst role, unless he did something wrong to get fired at Ole Miss, I don't see why he would do that.
Well, let me push back to that a little bit. Could this be like a Matt Guerrieri position? Because, you know, Matt came from being a co-DC at Duke to kind of coming over to be a senior analyst.
Right, but he was unemployed. Unemployed.
Okay, that's fair. That is
Matt.
Fair.
Matt Guerrieri would never have made that move if he was still the D coordinator at Duke. You don't leave a coordinator job, on the field job, to go be an analyst unless Alabama's just dropping bags off. Like if you're paying $500,000 to be an analyst, like, okay, I could see that, but I don't see the value in that. You already have all these coaches that are making that kind of money to do those jobs. Like, is an off the field coach really worth it when he's been a successful on the field coach?
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see, because as I've said since I started the podcast, Nick Saban and Alabama have really set the pace. Like, they're that lead car in the NASCAR race that kind of makes moves on how they build their staff. Nick Saban builds his staff and builds his, you know, company flow chart, his structure, better than anyone. And then other programs follow suit, like Ryan Day and Ohio State hiring Matt Guerrieri as an off the field analyst. Like, that is Nick Saban started that. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see, because when you watch what Alabama, the moves they make in the offseason, it can tell you the future of college football, honestly, because they're just that far ahead of everyone with how they do things. So I'm interested to see what happens if someone does leave. That would make the most sense. If not, boy, we could have another huge change in the landscape of college football.
Oh, brother. I do want to ask, before I get to RJ Young, I do want to ask you about the Auburn defensive coordinator. Derek Mason is looking at the Oklahoma State DC job, same position. Would this be a step down? Is this, you know, usually you don't see moves from DC of an SEC school to then going over to the Big 12.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely an interesting move, right? Especially with the landscape of the Big 12 changing in the next couple of years with Oklahoma and Texas leaving. I mean, that conference is in limbo, right? It's a fragile conference to gamble your career on. But what I think it does tell you is that Brian Harsin might not be the guy at Auburn, right? And I thought it was an odd hire. I didn't think it would work out. I mean, a guy from Boise State that has been a Boise guy his whole life is going to jump in the SEC and compete with Nick Saban. So I think it's more a testament to Derek Mason saying, you know what, I don't see how we ever get over the hump and beat Nick Saban. And I don't want to, you know, ride this Titanic ship into the icy cold waters. I'd rather go be at Oklahoma State for Mike Gundy, who's not getting fired anytime soon. At least I have stability, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the move you have to look at, because I used to talk about all the time with assistant coaches, because I knew Urban so well. It was like, at what point do you need to get the fuck out? Because Urban is a 5 to 6 year coach if things are going well, right? It happened at Ohio State. It happened at Florida. Maybe 7 at the most, but he's not going to be a 15-year head coach because we could go into why, but because of the way his program's built, like after 5, 6, 7 years, it's like, it's a little, he's stale, right? Mm-hmm. And the players, it's time for change. And for him, even, like, he needs a different obstacle. So I used to have that conversation, like, all right, what point do you leave? Even if it's for a lateral move, or even like, you know, let's say I'm the receiver coach at Ohio State, I might take the receiver coach's job at Oklahoma State or somewhere like that. I mean, probably wouldn't, but you get my point. At some point, you need to think about your career. Because if Urban Meyer up and retires, resigns, whatever, you could be out of a job and looking to go to Akron or Bowling Green just to get a job and stay in the game. And that's what a guy like Derek Mason, who's been around forever, obviously was a head coach at Vanderbilt, has been in a number of places. That's what he's got to think about, right? Long term, his career, what's the best move to keep him on the up and up? Because once you're fired, it's a bitch, man. I got a good friend of mine got fired at Colorado State, mainly because Steve Adazio went off his rocker on referees and all kinds of shit this year and got fired for it. And now there's a number of coaches at Colorado State that are looking for jobs. They got fired, and it's a bitch. You don't ever want to be in that position, because you got kids, you got a wife, you got a family. I mean, it's a hard place to be. So that's why I think he would do it, is just for stability.
Speaking of coaches that don't make long stops, Zach, this Jim Harbaugh stuff to the NFL, it doesn't seem to go away. We heard it with Ryan Day and the Bears. That seemed to go away. Ryan Day, you know, got rid of the defensive staff, brought a new one, obviously made moves that would suggest he will be here long term. Then there's some rumors about him having that extension soon. But with this Jim Harbaugh stuff, you know, he's never been in a place more than 4 years. This is year seven at University of Michigan. They beat Ohio State, and now the belief is that Michigan is worried and that if offered the Raiders job, he will go. What do you have to make of this?
Well, first of all, that is the most clickbait shit I've ever seen. I read the article, and he would, according to an anonymous source within the program, he would take the Raiders job if offered.
It felt like an agent plant more than anything. Like,
that is such a childish and just an irresponsible thing to report. One, because that could completely be fabricated, right? We're talking third hand information. It was probably some intern or GA or equipment guy that was the anonymous source from within the program. And what does that mean? He would consider taking it if it was offered. Well, no shit. Wouldn't anyone? Like, if it was offered, wouldn't you at least momentarily consider taking it? Like, it's the most clickbait bullshit I've ever heard. Like, and not to mention, like, yeah, if they're going to throw $12 million a year at him, yeah, he's definitely going to consider it. And that's if they want to offer it to him. So there's a lot of smoke. That's for sure. There's a lot of where there's smoke, there's fire. That's usually driven by agents or driven by Jim himself, whether it's to get leverage or to actually maybe land an NFL job. But these articles speculating to, you know, some intern said that he might take it if it is offered is like, shut up. Like, you are just trying to hit the headline circuit, trying to get clicks. And maybe we should do that. Maybe we should name this show like Breaking News, Jim Harbaugh to the Raiders. We'll do that. Let's play clickbait and see what the numbers do. We'll report back to you, because I don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to the NFL. I really don't. I think they're fueling this story to drive clicks right now. And I do think there's interest on both sides, but this is not some foregone conclusion. He's not been offered anything. No, none of those teams have decided he's their guy. He has not decided to take a job. So this is all premature. And honestly, I don't see Jim Harbaugh doing it. I don't think he's smart enough to know, or I don't think he's level-headed enough, right, to know that they're not going to do what they did this year next year. I think he's so conceited that he believes they will repeat their performance this year, their success this year, next year, and moving forward. And he can really become he can rule the roost. He can be the king of the castle in the Big Ten. I think he believes that. And I obviously don't, but I think he believes that. He's got that much of an ego. And it's at Michigan. It's at his alma mater. He is now like a god in Ann Arbor. And that's what he always wanted, right? And he finally achieved it. I don't see him running to take the fucking Raiders job. I just don't.
But could we get Menace Army to kind of fool the internet, see if we can get some responses out of some major, you know, networks saying not able to confirm, you know, Jim Harbaugh to the Raiders?
Absolutely. Everyone right, just start tweeting about it. Like, just tweet, like, oh, holy shit, at Menace to Sports broke.
Jim's gone. Jim
Harbaugh to the Raiders. Let's fuck with the media. I'm here for it. Let's do it.
Yes,
so we'll title the show that. Mm-hmm. Breaking news. Jim Harbaugh agrees to terms with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And then you guys all tweet it out.
It's on the 1 yard line and float out some fake contract numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's do it, Menace Army. Let's fuck with ESPN and Adam Schefter and all these people. Let's break the news right here. And it's complete bullshit. He has not fucking agreed to anything with the Raiders. And if he has, we don't know. I'm just going to make it up. So let's play clickbait. Let's see how it goes. And I want to see the numbers to the show. I bet you the numbers go crazy. So let's do it. Let's fuck with the sports media.
Mm-hmm. I do want to ask you kind of nice little thing to wrap up the show with. If you were building your ideal college football staff, what would it be? And I don't want you to go off the rag. I don't want like Ryan Day as the OC, Nick Saban as like Bill Belichick is the DC. I want like if you were building an actual, you know, college football, like within reason kind of staff, what would your staff be?
Man, I'll give you my initial thoughts of guys that I would definitely want to hire. But then I think that's a great episode. Just kind of the ideal staff in 2022. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do a main episode and I'll actually, you know, really sink some time into it. But off the cuff, you know, depends on where you're at. Depends on who you can get. Obviously, we will go with no demotions, but lateral movement is acceptable, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I would definitely bring in Justin Fry to be the O-line coach, right? And I'm not even going to dub coordinators. Maybe I'll dub play callers, but
yeah.
I would definitely bring Justin Fry in to be the O-line coach. I would hire Brian Hartline probably to coach receivers.
Gasp.
I would Keenan Bailey would have to be a full-time coach on my staff in some form or fashion, whether it's the tight ends coach or, you know, I don't know about quarterbacks as a first job, but Keenan Bailey would be in the offensive staff. Let's call him the tight ends coach. Running backs coach, I would hire Stan. Stan Drayton's the head coach now. I couldn't. So I would hire Tony Alford for sure. Let's see. Quarterback coach is tough.
That is tough.
I don't have a quarterback coach for you right now. I mean, I love Corey Dennis, but I'm not well-versed enough in the quarterback realm to oversee that room with Corey like Ryan does. And Corey's still a young coach, a promising, bright future young coach. But I don't know if I could hand the keys to the Chevrolet or the Maserati, I guess. This is a Maserati. Over to Corey to coach quarterback. So I'd have to think about that one on offensive staff. So that rounds out the offensive staff, only I don't have a quarterback coach. Defensively, that's a great question. So D-line, I would hire Randall Joyner for sure. He would be my Larry Johnson, you know, 2.0.
Yeah.
He would be the D-line coach. I would hire Sean Cronin to coach linebackers. In the secondary's tough. I would probably hire Fran Brown, who's at Rutgers right now, to coach corners. He was in on the Temple head coaching job with Stan Drayton, if you didn't know. And then I would probably hire Matt Thurin, who's at Boston College right now, to be the safeties coach. And then coordinator, I mean, if I could pick anybody, I mean, I would hire Jim Knowles. I really like this defense that he ran at Oklahoma State. I would hire DJ Durkin. And there's a couple other ones out there probably if I really think about it. But I think that's kind of just a general
thought. Where you would start.
Okay. That would be my short list, and then I would start to invest. So let's treat it like that, right? I just got named a head coach. That was my initial list I walked in with, and I'll research it. I'll research the country right now, really think of guys that maybe I forgot about, and we'll put together the dream staff, right? If I took over at Ohio State a top five program, what would my staff be? So we'll do that. We'll make a main episode out of that next week. That's a good call, Chris.
Thank you. Well, that's all I have for today. That was, you know, a nice little short episode, Zach, but do you have anything else?
No, that's all I got.
Wait, RJ Young.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. What are we doing? We can't let the dumbass sports media personality of the 2021 season off the hook.
Buddy was tweaking. Don't know how he got a job.
I don't understand when he does this stuff. I know it's for clickbait. Maybe it's to get us to talk about it, but I guess I could never get in the business of selling my product, right? Mm-hmm. My persona, my platform, and I get clicks because people think I'm an idiot. I just couldn't do that, right? It's like we talked about T-Bone from the local sports media, sports radio here. It's like I can never do that. But he put out his all-bowl team, and it's like fucking so random.
Yeah, it's so random. There's no offensive lineman. You got a quarterback, two running backs, tight end, three wide receivers. I think you have one defensive lineman and then corners. It's a mess. It's a mess, Zach. And I don't even want to talk about snubs because like he snubbed everybody because he left off whole position groups.
Right. I mean, I don't understand how you have a D lineman and Trayvon Walker and then a D tackle, the D tackle from Baylor. And that's your only D lineman, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't even pick any other D lineman and then no offensive lineman at all.
Right.
And it's just bizarre. You have two running backs, a tight end, three wide receivers. You can't play with six skill guys. I mean, I agree with some of it. C.J. Stroud and Jackson Smith and Jigba are on the list based on the Rose Bowl, which is absolutely accurate.
If he messed that up, Zach, I wouldn't even been worth talking about.
No, but just I don't understand what it is, it's like it's clickbait. It's just because they have nothing better to talk about, they're just gonna throw some shit out there and see what sticks. So
there is an Oklahoma State linebacker on there, the Malcolm Rodriguez kid that was an All-American under Knowles. Made the list, so signs of the future, I hope. But just it's insane. I mean, his platform blew up. He definitely, you know, workaholic, was working after it. But it feels like once he got to Fox, he just off the whatever, man. It's tough to watch. It's tough to listen to. Also, like he'll yell at you for a full 30 minutes, and then he'll yell nonsense at you about an all bowl team. I hope he doesn't have a Heisman vote or anything like that, but who knows?
There's no doubt. And you know what? That just reminded me. Here I am talking about the new platform. I have to put out the Defensive Menace Awards still. So look for that episode to come either today or tomorrow. I completely forgot to put that out. I already have it done. I just got to record it. So that episode will come out, and then our Menace Awards will be wrapped up. 2022 season will be, or 2021 season will be wrapped up, and we can move forward onto recruiting, the off season, spring ball, getting into the 2020 season and get into all the shit that I hate that everyone does, right? The way too early top tens and all that bullshit. But you know, it's fun to do, fun to talk about. So I appreciate everybody for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow morning on Menace in the Morning, and you will have the defensive awards here either today or tomorrow. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Menace out.
Menace out.